This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to ER Vet on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Justine Lee, and I just wanted to give a huge shout out to everyone listening today. We're really excited to start our first ever episode of ER Vet. And so what I wanted to do was just start by giving you a little bit of background of who I am. And over the next few weeks and the next few episodes, we're going to be talking about what you can do to keep your dog or your cat safe. And hopefully we'll never have to see you in the ER to begin with. So as a little background about myself, I'm an emergency critical care veterinary specialist, and I'm also a toxicologist. So I'm not a typical veterinarian. I'm board certified, which means I did a little bit additional training. So I went to vet school at Cornell, and after that, I did my internship at Angel Memorial Animal Hospital, which is associated with the MSPCA or the Massachusetts SPCA. From there, I went to University of Pennsylvania, where I did an emergency critical care residency and fellowship. And then I actually moved to Minnesota, and I was on faculty at University of Minnesota at the veterinary school for about 5 years. I then headed an animal poison control center for an additional 5 years, and I'm really excited to be based out of Minneapolis, where I actually practice at Animal Emergency and Referral Center of Minnesota, which is based out of Oakdale, Minnesota. So I also have a lot of experience with my own dog and two cats when it comes to ER. And I actually wrote a book called It's a Dog's Life, But It's Your Carpet, and a cat book called It's a Cat's World, You Just Live in It, as you guys all probably experience with your cats. And the reason why I wrote the books was because I wanted to be able to educate pet owners about some of the common situations I was seeing in the ER. I want you to be your best pet advocate. And so really important that you work with your veterinarian, your emergency veterinarian, or even some resources that we'll talk about on the show, like ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center, or some lifelines out there that can help you when you think you have an emergency with your pet. So for those of you guys who have dogs or cats, really important that we always know when we need to get up in the middle of the night to get to an emergency vet. Now, there are some situations where you can oftentimes wait to see your vet the next day. If your dog or cat is eating fine, they're breathing comfortably, then most of the time you can make an appointment with your veterinarian. But I always tell people, if you're not sure, call your emergency veterinarian. Now, the first tip I have with being a good pet advocate is just simply pre-programming both your cell phone and your GPS in your car with your veterinarian's phone number, the emergency veterinarian, and the ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center. And the reason why is because when you're really panicked and you have an emergency, you don't want to have to look up the directions of how to get to the emergency clinic. So again, super easy just to pre-program that into your GPS in your car. The other important thing is make sure that you pre-program the ASPCA Poison Control Center 1-888-426-4435. Right into your cell phone, and that way you have it in case of an emergency. I can speak from experience when my own dog was accidentally poisoned. Even as a vet, I was a little frantic for a few minutes because it was hard to find all the information that I needed. So an important lesson. Now, as an emergency critical care veterinary specialist, I can say that there are definitely some emergencies that can wait to see your regular veterinarian in the morning. So things like diarrhea, maybe, you know, midnight health certificates if people are traveling, if you have a dog with really itchy skin, or even a urinary tract infection, those oftentimes can wait until the next day. But when in doubt, if you're worried and you want the peace of mind, get to the veterinary ER right away. And the reason why is because, unfortunately, dogs and cats don't show their signs until they're really severe. So, what are some classic signs in dogs that mean that you have to get up in the middle of the night and get to the vet right away? Well, the first one I would say that's the most life-threatening is if your dog or your cat is having difficulty breathing. So if they're stretching out their head or neck, they're panting constantly, they're constantly coughing. If they can't get comfortable, they're, you know, pacing around, they're coughing up any kind of frothy, foamy material. In severe life-threatening cases, we can actually see blue gums, which means that they're not getting enough oxygen in, and that's what we call call cyanosis, and that's a severe emergency that needs oxygen therapy right away. Another common emergency in dogs is when you notice a distended, bloated abdomen. And this often will come with the signs of non-productive retching. In other words, your dog's trying to vomit and hack up something, but nothing is actually coming out. And if you have a Great Dane or a standard poodle, a German Shepherd, or some of the more deep-chested dogs that have a really deep chest and are really wide in the chest area, you have to be aware of something that we call GDV or bloat. GDV actually stands for gastric dilatation volvulus. And I'll actually dedicate a whole separate podcast on this because it's such an important topic. But again, if you notice that distended, bloated abdomen, that non-productive retching, really severe anxiety or restlessness, in other words, your dog gets you up in the middle of the night, they seem really uncomfortable. These are signs, again, you need to get to the vet right away. Sometimes one simple hint you can do is lift up your dog's gum. And if you notice that it's really pale, that can be seen from internal bleeding or anemia. So if your dog doesn't want to get up or it sort of collapses down, it seems really weak, when in doubt, just simply lift their lip off their muzzle and see what color their gums are. It should normally be a bright pink or a light pink, but if it starts becoming really pale, obviously you want to get to a vet right away. Now, if you have a dog that's not long-haired, sometimes you'll actually be able to see their heart beating. And so I always tell people, if you feel like your dog's heartbeat is really elevated or really, really slow, you also want to get to the emergency vet. And so one simple thing you can do is put both your hands on the side of the chest to try to feel the heartbeat. At home, a dog's heartbeat should be about 80 to 100 breaths per minute. But if it's more elevated, it's greater than 160 to 170 beats per minute for dogs, that's actually a sign of pain or sometimes even shock. An elevated respiratory rate, when they're breathing with a respiratory rate of greater than 60 breaths per minute, and again, they're just lying there, that's too high, and that could be a sign of congestive heart failure or fluid in the lung. Another indication for bringing your dog to the vet is if they're crying out in pain, they can't get up. Those are definitely signs that we want to bring them right away too. If they're dragging their back legs or they're not able to move or they act like they're paralyzed, especially in certain breeds with really long backs like dachshunds, then we always worry about something like a herniated disc that needs surgery right away. If you notice that your pet is extremely lethargic, if there's any amounts of blood coming out of anywhere from their nose, from their mouth, then obviously you want to get to a vet right away. If there's any kind of poisoning situation, now I will talk more about poisoning situations in the future episodes. And again, this is a big passion of mine since I'm a toxicologist. But one of the most frustrating things for me as a board certified veterinarian is sometimes I'll have pet owners who bring in their dogs or their cats 1 to 2 days after their dog was poisoned. They knew their dog was poisoned, but they just didn't seek veterinary attention because they didn't think there was anything that we could do. Now, with any kind of poisoning situation, my little hint is the sooner you get to a vet or the sooner you call for life-saving advice, and it could be through the phone, through ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center, the sooner we can help decontaminate, which means we can help you induce vomiting, or we can give charcoal to bind the poison from the intestines. So it's always less expensive to treat, and it's always less damaging to your dog or your cat the sooner you seek veterinary attention with any type of poisoning. What else do you want to bring your dog to the emergency vet? Well, if you notice any abnormal odor, and I know that sounds weird, but if all of a sudden you smell some type of infection, it could be, you know, discharge, it could be discharge from the ears and the mouth or the rear end, you definitely want to get to a vet too, because it could be a really bad infection. Now, there's also some eye emergencies. And in a future episode, I'm actually going to bring on a board certified veterinary ophthalmologist to talk about when we're going to bring in our pets for ophthalmology emergencies. But my general rule is if your pet is squinting, has bulging or painful eyes, you want to get to an emergency vet right away too. Because sometimes that can be a deep ulcer or scratch on the eye or even really severe glaucoma, which can lead to blindness. I'll talk more about this in cats, but if you notice that your pet is straining to urinate or making multiple trips to urinate, this can be a life-threatening emergency too. And so really important that we be able to do a physical exam to make sure that your dog or cat isn't blocked. In other words, they can't urinate because of a bladder stone or something else going on. Couple other things, if you notice that your dog collapses, has any tremors or seizures, or has any abnormal behavior that you're worried about, like they're acting really aloof or really clingy, those are signs you also want to get to the veterinarian. Now, what are some tips when it comes to the emergency vet? The first thing to know is just like a human ER, there can be a really long wait in the emergency room. So I always tell people you want to bring a few things. Obviously, you want to rush your pet right away. But if you have a few minutes, you want to make sure to bring their leash, their medical record folder. And I'm a big advocate that you always have everything organized in a folder that you can grab in the case of an emergency. And this is going to include all the invoices and copies of blood work from your veterinarian. I also recommend bringing something to eat or drink, and ideally something to read or surf on. So an iPad or computer, a charger or a book. And that's because just like a human ER, animals are triaged on how severe their disease is. In other words, we're always going to treat the most life-threatening emergencies, like a difficulty breathing case or a dog that was hit by a car first. So we're going to see those over, you know, a skin infection. So just be aware, there's oftentimes a 1 to 2 to 3 hour wait. So you always want to be prepared and bring some stuff that will help keep you entertained and your pet entertained. Next week, I'll talk about what signs to look for in cats on when you're going to bring your cat into the veterinary emergency room. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll continue with a really cool topic right after this message from our sponsors.
Konica, the German Shepherd that I rescued, was stinky, skinny, and scrawny, full of skin rashes and scratching. And I started feeding Konica Dynavite, and he became such a happier, itch-free, stink-free dog. I dug deeper into the website.
DINOVITE.com.
What if in addition to Dynavite, we do the raw beef and the egg diet and see what happens? Forget all these 50-pound bags, the formulated, extruded, processed cereal bits that cost a ton of money anyways. This dog's as close to a wolf as you can get. They're carnivores. With just the raw meat and the eggs and the Dynavite and Super Omega on top of it, it just balances out his body and his mind and his spirit. It's unbelievable. Hey, if you're thinking about rescuing a dog, you got to start them out on Dynavite, DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Oh, sure. It's all fun and games until someone ends up in a cone. That's right. We are animals. Deal with it. Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Pet Life Radio. We're excited to have you join us on ER Vet. What we're talking about on this radio show are basically ways of being able to protect your dog or your cat from having to even go into the emergency room to begin with. So what we've been talking about earlier is when we're going to bring our dog to the emergency vet, and some general hints, such as making sure that you're prepared or you know what signs to look for, that you know what to bring to the emergency clinic. When in doubt, I always tell people, if you're concerned, bring them into the emergency room because you know your dog the best. And it's never worth sacrificing your dog's health and your peace of mind if you're worried in the middle of the night. Now, something you have to be aware of is when you go to the emergency room just to prepare you, it's going to be a lot more expensive than your regular veterinarian. And there's actually a reason why. First of all, general veterinarians don't have to have the same tools or equipment that emergency clinics have. And that's because we see really life-threatening cases that require ultrasound or blood transfusions or tests that blood type dogs and cats. We need to have analyzers or machines that can test clotting and blood work. Most veterinarians will have some ability to do blood work in their clinic, but we have to have a much more extensive type in order to test for any kind of life-threatening emergency. And this can include poisoning tests too. So unfortunately, because all this equipment is expensive and because these facilities have to be open 24 hours a day versus just 12 hours a day, some of the overhead costs are more expensive. That said, it's always important and helpful to know that that 24-hour resource is available to your pet in case of an emergency. Now, before we were talking about some tips on what you need to know when it comes to going to the ER. And what I'd like to also include are some tips to prevent your dog from going into the ER. One of the saddest things for me, especially when it's a warm, sunny day and it happens to be the first nice day in spring, is we know in the emergency room that we're going to see more trauma, things like a dog that's hit by a car. So my general rule with dog ownership, and you can feel free to email me if you guys agree or disagree, or you have something else that you want to add on. But my two general rules for dog ownership are they need 30 minutes of exercise a day. So that's 2 15-minute walks. And they need 2 levels of puppy obedience, regardless of what age you adopted them or purchased them at. Why is that important? It's important because you need to be able to make sure that you have good recall of your dog. If your dog doesn't come back to you 100% of the time when you call it, it honestly should never be off a leash. And that's just to protect it from being hit by a car or from some type of trauma. So again, most of the time in the ER, the worst time of the year for trauma is in the spring or summer, depending on where you live. The second thing you can do to keep your dog safe is to make sure that you pet proof appropriately. I always tell people if you just got a new puppy, you actually want to crawl on the floor on all fours because it gives you a good perspective of how to pet proof your house. You may not see an electrical cord or something on the floor if you're standing up and you won't know what to pet proof. So as soon as you get that puppy or even before you get that puppy, make sure you look around the house to make sure that all poisons, medications, food products, electrical wires are out of reach. And that's a really good way of keeping your pet safe. The better thing, crate training your dog. Now, a lot of people think that crates are cruel. They don't want to keep their dog in a crate. But if you appropriately crate train your dog, they actually view it as their den. So as a puppy, you always want to make sure that you provide this safe haven, this little den that has their food, has their water. It's where you're giving them all their toys. And that way they feel comfortable in the crate. When you're not home, we actually want you to crate train your dog. So the dog should be in the crate. That way it's not getting into anything poisonous. When I used to work at an animal poison control center, I used to see dogs poisoned dozens of times a day. And the main reason why is because they weren't crate trained and they were chow hounds, like Labradors, who like to get into everything. So I'm going to go through a couple of tips on how we can pet proof our house from poisonings. Step number one, as we already discussed, is to crate train your dog. Step number two is to keep anything like human medications off the kitchen counters. A lot of dogs can counter surf and they can actually reach those bottles really easily. So my word of advice is put all those human medications in a kitchen cabinet where your dog can't get into it. The third way you can pet proof is to make sure to keep your human medications in a totally different area from the dog medications. I can't tell you how many times I see accidental poisoning when the human takes their dog's thyroid medication and they accidentally give their heart medication to their dog. So they end up switching the medications because they just opened up the wrong vial. So keep your human medications in one cabinet, keep your dog's medication in a completely different drawer, and that way you never accidentally take the wrong medication or give the wrong medication. The third way that you can pet proof is to make sure that if you have guests who are coming to your house, that they know how to pet proof also. And so another way I see a lot of dogs and cats getting poisoned is when your family comes to visit over the holidays, they put all their medications into one of those Ziploc bags or those weekly pill counters, and those things sound like little plastic rattles. And so unfortunately, what can happen is a dog can chew into that Ziploc bag with all those medications, and that can be a really severe poisoning because it's a polypharmacy. They're getting into a lot of medications all at once. The fourth way that you can pet proof is always make sure that everyone in your family hangs up their purse, their backpack, or their briefcase as soon as they get home. Why? Because there's a lot of poisonous things in the purse or backpack. Now, things in the purse that I always worry about are human medications. Coins, like pennies, can cause severe poisoning when they're ingested. A lot of people will keep a pack of gum in their purse, and if it's got sugar-free xylitol, that can result in severe poisoning. And next week, we're going to actually talk about xylitol poisoning. When it comes to the backpack, a lot of kids will have candy in there. They'll have chocolate in there. They'll have an albuterol asthma inhaler, which is really deadly to dogs when they chew into it. They can oftentimes have a box of raisins as a snack, and raisins can cause severe acute kidney injury. So again, super easy to pet proof by just hanging up that purse or that briefcase. The last thing you can do to pet proof your house is, again, make sure to get on all fours, look all around the house, and to try to keep everything out of reach. It could be something as simple as putting the remote control on the elevated counter so your dog doesn't chew into the batteries. And this is really important because it's going to keep your dog safe, but more importantly, it's going to save your wallet a lot of money. The typical bill for when a dog eats a battery, which is really, really poisonous and corrosive, can be up to $1,500, if not more. So again, these five simple tips can help save you and your dog a lot of money and your dog from having to be hospitalized at a veterinary emergency room. So hopefully you feel more comfortable and you know how to pet-proof your house and you know what signs to look for on when you need to bring your dog into the ER. That brings us to the end of today's show on ER Vet on Pet Life Radio. You can always find me on Facebook at Dr. Justine Lee or at my website, www.drjustinelee.com. If you have any pet questions, you can always email me too at drjustine@petliferadio.com. We're out of time, and I wanted to thank Mark Winter, our producer, for making this show possible. And tune in next week for more episodes of ER Vet on Pet Life Radio.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.